Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When St. Peter speaks of the day of the Lord, it is a reference to Judgment Day. And Peter makes it very clear that we have to keep our perspective that everything is going to be destroyed, not by man, as the arrogant atheists believe today, but by God Himself. God will destroy everything at the end because everything has been corrupted by the fall from grace and evil. And therefore, the consummation of all things, when the Son of Man returns, everything that is evil is conquered and destroyed. And renewal takes place, not only for the Christian who is true to his baptism, but for the earth itself, with the formation of a new heaven and a new earth, as it were. But everything is judged rightly, and this is why the Christ himself at his second coming sees to the end of all things. And if you and I know that everything that we're working for or doing in this life will not amount to a hill of beans when it's all said and done, because it's all going to be destroyed by fire, whether you and I are alive at the end of the world or not. So therefore, why should we invest our all into something that is passing? The enemy wants us to subscribe to the illusion. Therefore, the day of the Lord, keeping that in mind, is an imperative to the good follower of Christ, because it keeps things in perspective. It prevents us from getting lost in the illusions of the world, that the world is going to last forever, and it's the end-all, be-all. It is not. And you and I ourselves will not last forever. We all are going to die, as we meditated on last week with the subject matter being death. So we come to the second of the four last things for our meditation in the Advent season, and that is, of course, the reality of judgment. Judgment. Now remember, the Christ was the Logos before the Incarnation. And in Colossians, St. Paul tells us that all things were created through the Logos, and all things are created for the Logos, and he is before all else that is. Therefore, it is only the Logos, the second person of the Holy Trinity, that could save mankind. Not the first person, not the third person, but the second, because all of the creation was done through him and for him. And so in obedience to God the Father, he becomes man, condescending to a level you and I cannot even comprehend. And as he saves us by suffering and death, using the very weapons of the devil to defeat the devil, sin and death, his resurrection means that he is victorious and he has ransomed us from dominion of the devil. Remember, the devil has a right to dominate us by virtue of Adam and Eve's decision, but Christ ransomed us with his own blood. Therefore, we don't have to be slaves to the devil unless we want to. And therefore, all authority, Jesus said, on heaven and on earth has been given to me by my Father. So Christ is the one that will judge all things. The book of Revelation, the book of the Apocalypse, tells us how his judgment will go for the world. He's going to destroy it, and it will be reformed, with all evil completely obliterated from it, including the enemy himself. And then every human being will be judged. That's a general judgment. But for our purposes, we consider only the particular judgment when you and I die. As I told you last week, there's no mystery to death. Your soul goes to the judgment seat of Christ. Some theologians hold that the judgment seat of Christ effectively comes to the place where you die, but you're at the judgment seat. And then once your soul is there, it is given infused knowledge. God lets you see everything as he saw it. So your own biases and your own excuses will not stand, because with infused knowledge, remember Adam and Eve had infused knowledge at the beginning and they lost it by virtue of original sin. They knew all they needed to know with regards to the workings of the world and how to fulfill their vocation, but they lost all that when they betrayed God and served the devil. But that infused knowledge will be restored to every soul. And every soul will see everything it did that was good and everything it did that was evil. Except, of course, for those Catholics who are smart enough to use the sacrament of penance. Because remember, Christ has come to be the Redeemer. Once you're dead, he's only your judge. At the sacrament of penance, the priest acts in the person of Christ and acts as the judge. Therefore, when you are absolved of your sins, if your contrition is true, absolution does not simply mean forgiveness. It means the bonds of sin are totally loosened. So therefore, God will not remember those sins in the sense that He'll recall them to you. And I remember God is immutable. He has no memory. Because that would imply change. God cannot change. But God blots out the sin so it appears to disappear. And therefore, that sin, those confessed sins in the sacrament of penance, do not come back at the judgment seat of Christ because they are truly pardoned most perfectly by the Father as He looks at the suffering and death of His Son as the payment for our sins. So as I say, without reservation, if you're a Catholic who doesn't go to confession, you are a total idiot. And you are gambling your immortal soul on pride. Because you might be too embarrassed to confess your sins, or you might think you don't need to. You've been too influenced by the Protestant heresies. Even though Jesus says to His apostles in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you hold bound are held bound. Why would the Christ do that if He did not intend for the people to confess their sins to the apostles? Because the apostles were not cardiognostic like the Christ. So for those who do not use the sacrament of penance, or if you die without getting to the sacrament of penance, all those sins are called up and you see them. Now this is why Christ is the perfect judge, and this is the frightful thought of the judgment seat. Because He is all-knowing, He is all-wise, He is all-powerful, He is God, He knows everything, how things actually did occur and how things actually would have occurred. For example, He will show you at the judgment seat how your sins, as private as you thought they may have been, disaffected people around you. He will show you when your own conscience bothers you about how you treated someone. He will show you how hurtful you may have actually been, more so than perhaps you thought, or how vulnerable the other person was when you were mean and rude, even if they were a complete stranger. You will see all of that, unless, of course, you confess those things. But the other horrible thought, besides the reality of seeing how your sins disaffect others and had a rippling effect, is that you will see, by virtue of the fact that Christ knows what would have happened, you will see what would have happened, what good would have been accomplished had you chosen not to sin. Had you chosen to be virtuous, you will see, by virtue of the infused knowledge in His judgment, what good would have come from your behavior if you had chosen to do good instead of choosing to do evil. In other words, all those sins of omission that we may not even know about, we will see. What good we would have accomplished had we chosen to do right and do that which is good instead of either choosing to be negligent or choosing to sin. Imagine that reality. That's why the church teaches that no soul goes to the judgment seat to defend itself. It goes to be passively judged. And this all happens in an instant, Christ's judgment of your soul. And your soul, by virtue of that infused knowledge and that instant of judgment, it knows where it belongs, and it goes there itself. The soul knows it deserves hell. The soul knows it wanted hell. And the soul slithers to hell. The soul knows it needs to be purified, and it goes to purgatory. The soul knows by the words that Christ says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, come and share your master's joy." It knows to go to heaven. The soul knows its place for eternity in an instant at the judgment seat. There is no defending yourself. There's no justification because Christ shows you everything. So consider what a benefit it is to regard the judgment every day of your life. How many sins will you avoid when you know you are going to be judged, that Christ does indeed see and is most aware of your sins? And is most aware when we have chosen to make ourselves more important than He. Remember, all sin is rooted in pride, and pride by definition is self-love. And self-love in the end is a terrible, terrible prison. The loneliest of people are the people who love themselves the most. And since that love is so disordered, it manifests itself as a kind of hatred for everyone around them. That's why it is wisely said by Archbishop Sheen of blessed memory, souls that are on their way to hell, you can see them, because they create chaos and they are hurtful to everyone around them. Souls on the way to hell know they're on the way to hell, and they live like it. So if a Catholic who is perhaps on the way to hell actually considers and regards the judgment, which is real and is going to happen when they die, it can change everything. Because if you regard the judgment, then you know Christ is the Redeemer in the here and now, not someone you seek out at the last minute of your life. But he is most merciful in the here and now. Once you are dead, he shows absolutely no mercy. He is only the most objective and perfect judge. And should your sins outweigh your virtue, you will indeed, if they are unrepented of, because they would never be regarded at the judgment if you use confession, you will burn in hell for eternity. Hell is real. The Christ spoke most of hell. Of all the figures in sacred scripture, Christ mentions hell the most, and he is the Son of God. He cannot deceive nor be deceived. So last week you regarded death to detach yourself from the world and its material illusions and attach yourself to the things of God and the spiritual life. Now consider judgment so that you will detach yourself from sin, avoid sin, and make your relationships rightly ordered, always recognizing how selfishness corrupts everything, especially in the sacrament of holy matrimony. Be mindful of the judgment and you'll avoid sin. And also be mindful of judgment. And when injustices and evil happens to you and you see it around you, you know that God himself will render justice to the unjust. It is not for us to worry about that then. It is us to serve God rightly and be prepared for the judgment, which of course will be easy should we partake of the Lord's mercy in the here and now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.